Support for this episode of Pwned and the following message come from New Harbor Security. New Harbor Security is your end-to-end provider of security services and security solutions. If you're looking for smart security solutions and services for your business, visit us at www.newharborsecurity.com. The General Data Protection Regulation was passed in 2016 and went into effect as of May 2018. I saw many organizations scrambling to achieve compliance in the months preceding and following this past May. The new regulation brought some additional changes beyond the 1995 EU Data Protection Directive. This regulation flipped a lot of organizations on their head, and for some security professionals, inheriting GDPR compliance obligations. Hey, it's Justin. We're going to be diving into this one and more on this week's episode of Pwned. This is Pwned, a weekly show about questions I hear from security professionals and my peers from the industry. Each week, I'll pick one question or great conversation I had during the previous week and recap it here. I'll cover a variety of different topics, from security frameworks to security technologies, best practices, and how-tos. I was visiting with one of my CISO friends in Boston last week. The question came up, I'm now the data protection officer for our organization. Can you help me? His organization's a little complex in that his organization hosts between 30 and 50,000 individuals from all over the world in any given month. And his organization also processes, transmits, or stores personal information in the course of their business. So first off, let's start with the changes that GDPR introduces. So GDPR is building on the 1995 EU directive. And some background on that directive is that it was started in 1980 as an effort to create comprehensive data protection systems throughout Europe. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development issued its recommendations of the Council concerning guidelines governing the protection of privacy and transborder flows of personal data. It's quite the mouthful. The seven principles concerning their recommendations for protection of personal data were 1, notice, 2, purpose, 3, consent, 4, security, 5, disclosure, 6, access, and 7, accountability. Notice is that data subjects should be given notice when their data is being collected. 2, purpose, data should only be used for the purpose stated and not for any other purposes. 3 is consent, data should not be disclosed without the data subject's consent. 4 is security, collected data should be kept secure from any potential abuses. 5 is disclosure. Data subjects should be informed as to who is collecting their data. 6 is access. Data subjects should not be allowed to access their data and make any corrections to any inaccurate data. And then the last one, 7, accountability, is that data subjects should have a method available to them to hold data collectors accountable for not following the above principles. Also, as part of that directive, there was no enforcement to the directive. Now, data privacy and data security are two very different disciplines. What data privacy primarily focuses on is the governance of data, and it ensures that an organization is doing what they say they are doing with the information. A core privacy tenet is that you will only use the data in ways that you say you're going to use it. The intersection with security comes when you have lost the data or the data was manipulated through a security weakness or a security breach. At that point, you have used the data in a way that you have not informed the consumer as part of your purpose obligations. In other words, because of a security weakness or breach, you've done something with the data that you didn't disclose, such as sharing it with people you didn't intend to, and allowed use of the data in ways you didn't receive permission for. The core security tenet has not changed from the EU directive to GDPR.
It only provides more guidance, structure, and consequence how security should be implemented. Security by design is not new. Privacy by design is not new. Notifying folks of breach is not new for most organizations. Risk assessments are not new, again, for most organizations.
Now, the fact that there's consequence for non-compliance is forcing many security teams to actually perform risk assessments and design the security architectures for their organizations and to ensure timely breach notifications. This isn't new. Now you just got to do it. And that can be hard, especially in large organizations. As it stands now, most security organizations are underfunded and under-resourced, and completing this type of work in short order can be like hunting a bear with a BB gun. So if you're unsure where to start, Article 32 and Article 35 are very clear that security control implementations should mitigate identified security risks. Paraphrasing the first paragraph of those articles, any risk assessment, data protection impact assessment, should take into consideration state of the art of the technology, the cost of the control implementation, the scope and context and the purposes for processing, as well as the risks related to the likelihood and the severity that the rights and freedoms of people will be impacted by that security risk. There's two components to this that GDPR doesn't answer. The first one is how to actually do the risk assessment, and two, what controls to implement to mitigate the risks that are identified. So let's start with the first one, the risk assessment. There's some standard risk assessment methodologies available in the industry today. There are actually quite a few, but one of the most common ones that I see is NIST 830. This provides a framework that can be used to provide a comprehensive and robust risk assessment methodology. NIST 830 is also recognized by other security benchmarks, industry frameworks, such as payment card industry and HIPAA. The second part of this is what controls should be implemented to mitigate the risks that have been identified that exceed the organizational tolerance. And there are many control frameworks in place today, and many are industry specific, whether it's PCI, HIPAA, the NIST 800 series, or even ISO 27002, which has a great catalog of security controls that you can lean on.
Now, coming back to our original question, I'm a CISO, and now I'm also a data protection officer. Can you help me? If you're a security leader in this position, your strength and value to the organization is going to be your security subject matter expertise and how to best mitigate security risks. Since business operations is not normally part of your day-to-day routine, especially in large organizations, you need to become very friendly with your peers in this space and those closer to data collection and data processing activities, as they're the ones who knows the details on how this works. Now, probably the most important piece, if you don't have an in-house counsel, you should find a trusted legal partner. There's a whole discipline for privacy law that covers privacy rights and what constitutes reasonable expectations of privacy in terms of the law. In most organizations I've talked with, many folks are still working through compliance and trying to figure this out. The success of GDPR in any organization is a team sport.
Thanks for listening to the show this week. If you want to learn more, listen to previous episodes, or snag some show notes, you can go to my website at justinfimlay.com and you can reach me on the contact form, or you can direct message me on Twitter at Justin Finlay. Please also subscribe to the show at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And please give us a 5-star rating, as your ratings help to make this show possible.